The COVID-19 pandemic has increased food insecurity and decreased revenue for restaurants. The Southern Illinois Collaborative Kitchen is tackling both problems with a low-contact pickup system and meals that are available regardless of ability to pay. Leah Maciel, owner of Chris Daughters Bakery and one of the founders of the Collaborative Kitchen, talked with WSIU about the project.
I want to start with talking about Collaborative Kitchen. Tell me a little bit about how this concept came about.
So when the shelter in place order came through, the owners of Cristados, we got together and realized that it would probably be better to go ahead and temporarily close so we could redo our business model, because we wouldn't be able to basically sustain ourselves for just carry out orders only. And in the meantime, while we were doing that, we were a couple of people reached out to us about the Boys and Girls Club. And then that started to dawn on us that there's a lot of people with food insecurity down here, and why the schools were doing a great job of getting meals to the kids during the week. There wasn't really anything for the weekend. So we got together with William Lowe, who is the manager at Nukahala and also the creator of the Southern Illinois Eats page. And the five of us basically just came up with a plan to try to not only help people who needed food at this point in time, but also to help out restaurants that could have been struggling because of the shelter in place orders.
So walk me through, for somebody who's watching this who maybe hasn't ordered, like, how does ordering from Collaborative Kitchen work for your customers?
Okay, well, normally our menus are up by the latest on Wednesday morning, and we have a Facebook page where it'll direct you where to order. It's on the Southern Illinois Eats page, their own website, and you can order through there. And it's a sliding scale, pay what you can. So you're able to order food if you need it. You're able to donate if you can. And then we try to have varying menus every week and try to get some vegan and gluten-free options as well.
You partner with different restaurants. Can you tell me a little bit about how that works, each week with the Collaborative Kitchen?
So basically we reach out to people who would like to help. Try to pay them, a little over food costs so they can still make a profit on it. And we supply the to-go containers for them. And the restaurants that we've been working with have been fantastic so far. They've always been wanting to help. And that's Pat's Barbecue and One Hot Cookie and Walker's Bluff and Rise Above It and Deborah Kay's Catering at Assessor. And the people that I work with those are absolutely fantastic, and they didn't even hesitate to help out.
So what are some of the organizations you've worked with to help kind of feed the community, in addition to people who can, order from Collaborative Kitchen, even if they can't pay very much or at all?
Yeah, so far we're working with the Boys and Girls Club, and they are distributing meals on Wednesdays. And we also work with Addicts Community Services, and they distribute meals throughout neighborhoods on Saturdays. We work with Women for Change, who distribute meals as well as neighborhoods. And we also supply meals on the weekends for the Carbondale Warming Center.
So do you know, like, how many meals can you estimate that you've provided?
It varies, I think, around 250 to about 350 a week.
Have you heard from the restaurants you've worked with, like, is this helpful for them as well? Because we talk about individuals struggling, but businesses are hurting too.
When we talk to them, basically we just try to give them a fair price so they can still make a little bit of money. A lot of the restaurants that we're working with are also catering businesses as well. And they took a huge hit when the pandemic started. Because most of us cater for, SIU, and when it closed, that was an awful lot of revenue that everybody lost.
Do you see Southern Illinois Collaborative Kitchen being something that may continue beyond the COVID-19 pandemic?
We definitely, now that we were always aware of food insecurity in our area, but now that we're going to be a not-for-profit business. We plan on continuing this even after the pandemic.
In Focus in Carbondale, I'm Steph Whiteside.